And good evening. You are tuned into the super terrific Whiz Bang Gallagher Show, hour number two on this Wednesday, September the 6th, 2017. 14 minutes past the hour. Tonight, Gallagher welcomes escape artist Michael Griffin. I am Scott Spears, your announcer, joined in studio by the everyman, Terry Tackett. And now, here's the man who put the Sludge-O-Matic in business, put the water in watermelon, legendary comedian Gallagher.
The news today: Trump fired five top people, then went into the toilet and relieved himself as he pondered his staff problem, then as usual washed his hands of everything. And that was the news. Those are good jokes.
Now hit him with your the Mama Cass joke was good.
Yeah. No, I'm not. It's
what's wrong with that joke?
Well, okay. If Mama Cass had to give him Karen Carpenter the other half of that sandwich, they'd both be alive today. That was a big joke in the old days.
Yeah, the mamas and the papas era. That would have been.
But it just made sense. You know, when you're getting in a laughing mood and you need a reason. I have to give people a reason. That, you know, people come up and they say, "You make me laugh." That's why they like me. They don't like my personality. They like the fact that I made them laugh because they wanted to laugh, but it's you're just almost on the verge and you need to be pushed off that cliff.
You certainly
I'm laughing.
Do.
And so it has to be a little bit inappropriate.
Now, but before we get back to our guest here, I did want to get to the news of the day. Now,
what is the news of the day?
We wanted to talk a little bit about Mark Maron.
Well, here's a guy, you know, I went on his podcast and he was just ragging me about telling a few lesbian jokes. Till I finally just walked out because he was just going to argue with me the whole time. There was no sense being there. I was just digging a deeper hole. And I even told the lesbian jokes that he was mad about because I don't think they're that bad. And when you got 2 hours, my gosh, you have to touch on some topics, sexual. Hey, I want to do a French term like you. French is so sexy, I'm telling you. And so anyway, his new special is using a title that I use for my third special, Too Real, on Showtime. And you can even go on IMDb and put in Too Real, and you see the Gallagher special. Now, as a professional in this area, what do you think of somebody using? But my second one was called Mad as Hell. And I had a little song that went with it. Mad as Hell, Gallagher's Mad as Hell. But the third one is Too Real. And I took it from a disc jockey in L.A. who was using it a lot. He was saying, too cool. And he was the top DJ out there when I came out there, probably in the early 70s. And I'll think of his name when it pops in my head. So anyway, I made Too Real. And now he's using that. But I think he ought to say Mad as Hell if he's going to steal one. But anyway, professionally, what do you think? Why is he doing it on purpose, or do you
doing what on purpose?
Using the name of one of my shows. Come on, what are the names of some of your videos?
Well, I can't discuss those because there are families listening to this radio
station. All of your titles have a suggestive term in them?
No, most of the videos I keep are not.
You're
I'm
an
kidding.
Escape guy. There's no sense for you to get.
I don't have any body. Names on my videos.
Primary reality.
No, I usually end up on these shows like whatever.
I made 14 one-hour shows for Showtime over a 10-year period, and I, you know, and they each had a title. And to take one of my titles, I think he's provoking me. I don't know. Let's ask everybody out there.
Or to use the French vernacular, is he paying homage?
I love it. I love this guy. He's got some French words in his vocabulary, in his repertoire.
My repertoire.
That's right. Does this pick you off?
You're right. Isn't it? No, he's not ever trying to homage me.
No, no, no.
I'm not even going to get a massage out of this guy. He's
no massage.
Why would he use a term? But I found out there ain't no way I can sue him or anything and say, stop it, you have to change the name or any, because the names can't be. You think we have any patent attorneys out there listening? They could give an advice on this, but they said you can't copyright a title.
Would you be happy if he stopped?
It would be a trademark.
No, but I don't really care.
Do you think he did it because Gallagher walked out?
Funny.
Yeah, but here's what you do. You just release some news releases or whatever and play off of his playing off of you, and you get more of the publicity. Yeah. He wouldn't have the title if it weren't for you.
I'm writing a movie for Rihanna, and I'm trying to get to Ron Howard to help me to find the proper producers and writers. I really don't. have the time to mess around
with this.
This
guy's like Bush League anyway compared to what Gallagher.
That's what I'm saying, Bush League,
okay.
Yeah, compared to what Gallagher's trying to do, I mean,
yeah, I got
why
so
waste
many
your time
other
on this
projects.
Guy?
Did you like the guy when you met him?
Well, he's just another interviewer to me, you know.
Well, that brought down the house.
God will get you for that.
Yes.
Well, everybody gives a comic an opportunity to tell a different type of a joke and assume a different character. And so I don't care what the other person is. I'm playing a game, you know. It's batting back and forth. It's like tennis. Yeah. And it's a little bit like billiards because you have to have shape on your next shot. Otherwise, why did you say that, right?
But there was no love in that tennis match you had with him.
No, he didn't come from love. That's the point. And being a fellow comedian, I thought, you know, why would he want to do this? You know, certainly he tells jokes like this. Everybody gets to tell a joke. I just saw Angela Johnson. She picked on blacks and Mexicans and Puerto Ricans. And I saw a black guy do his handicapped brother. That's terrible, but everybody laughed really big. It was funny, but I didn't know. See, I can't do that. I have to just find something funny in language, usually.
But
safe, you know.
But this caught your eye.
Huh?
That Mark Maron?
Yeah, when you use the title. I produced all of my shows. I edited all of my shows. You know, I chose the title. I picked the artwork on the box and picked the title, and they just had to go along with it, you know.
Well,
I don't know why he's doing it, though. It's just kind of show business news.
No homage. No homage.
No,
did he do it maybe because Gallagher walked out?
Tomorrow's the day it releases. I put those jokes about Trump on my Twitter. I don't really use Twitter very much.
You don't tweet?
Not too much because I'm not getting a response. And I usually have more to say. A little bit more of a paragraph than I put on
more than 140
Facebook.
Characters.
More than 140, yeah. You gotta, is that what it is?
I think it's 140 characters.
Tough.
Yeah.
Tough for you.
It is.
Yep.
I like this concept. America is where everybody has a fence around their house but don't want one around their country. To me, that's a really good... It's not picking a side. It's nonpartisan criticism of how stupid. Why would a place where everybody has a fence not want a fence around... Maybe the reason you have a fence is because you don't have a fence around. You know? I can't... It's a good observation, I think. This how stupid we are.
No, it's Jerry Seinfeld material.
Is it? It's only that.
Usually
you don't get a big laugh unless it's about your butt or your crotch or boobs.
Okay. That's
a big
society
laughs.
Burn.
Yeah.
Michael, you have swallowed nails, pins.
Needles.
Yeah, I forgot. Needles. But what was it called, the needle trick?
Geographically speaking, the East Indian Needle Mystery.
East Indian Needle Mystery that the Needle Master died from, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So I think it's good to know that they have needles in East India. Because
do they do
I
a lot
felt,
of crochet?
I don't know, but I'm glad to know that they have it. It's not easy to make a needle. You have to have something smaller than the needle to make the hole at the one end of the needle. And that's why for many, many centuries, we've been ahead of the Russians because we could make needles. You probably didn't know.
Oh, because we could find the hole.
I didn't realize that. Needles.
Oh, we can find the hole. See, that's a good joke.
I get
see,
it.
That's a crunch.
They're
joke.
Laughing at home.
At home.
They are laughing at home.
They're laughing inside where
all
it counts.
All over the place. And we've seen Harry
and it's
Houdini's.
Therapeutic. It's releasing endorphins.
Now, my dad, the psychiatrist, said, listen, the secret to life is love.
Wait a minute. Let's make this a bigger deal. We're about to get... Do we have drums and trumpets? He's about to do the secret of life. He's the only human to do some other thing, and now we're getting the secret of life.
My dad, the psychiatrist, said, the secret to life is learn to laugh at yourself, and if you cannot do that, go out to the mall and find somebody you can laugh at.
Oh, your dad was a funny gentleman.
No,
my dad had a twisted sense of humor.
He wasn't up to time. You just say now we don't say the mall because the mall is vacant.
Now
we say Walmart. Just go to Walmart.
Now wait a second. Now are those really Harry Houdini's handcuffs?
Yes.
Okay. Now how much did you pay for those?
Back then, I remember they were like $200.
$200?
He's always going to tell you a story where he's amazing. He's amazing. He saves the world.
He's saying he bought
he's a superhero. Everything.
Yeah, this is like 30 years ago. I'll tell you what, the most I've ever sold a handcuff for was $20,000.
You've sold handcuffs for $20,000.
For a long time, I was one of the world's biggest handcuff dealers in rare restraints, jail jewelry. In fact, I still pay.
I can't imagine somebody being bigger than you.
No.
I do. Well, I'm 6'2".
You're big.
But I was the one handcuff collector who's owned the four known rarest handcuffs.
And they are.
Yeah.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Well, you guys
Lee Harvey
you guys
Oswald. I like
you. Lee Harvey Oswald handcuffs? If you don't, no. You're not. Oh, well, then you are
Wait
not.
Wait a minute. I want the guy that shot Kennedy and then he got shot. He was in handcuffs. Who was that?
Oswald.
Ruby.
Oh, that's who you're saying? Lee Harvey Oswald?
I know the guy who owns
Sarah,
who
Sarah,
owns
Sarah, the that's what I was
shot
thinking.
Who shot the other Kennedy?
Yeah, I know. But was he in handcuffs ever? No, he didn't get shot. He just hung around forever, didn't he?
Somebody said, hey, did you shoot the guy? And they hauled him away.
You have to go fast
so
and get it
handcuffs?
In there sideways.
Whose handcuffs
with us.
Do you have?
I have Harry Houdini's handcuffs.
Yeah, we understand that, but who are the other four?
Oh, the other four weren't connected to anybody. They were rarity because of when they were made, why they were made, what position they had in history.
Oh, what position did they have in history?
Well, there's a little mechanical secret inside of a box that the key unlocks, and they can't tell you that. They're not all, it's like watchmakers. They have their mechanical secret.
The rarest handcuff known. When I was coming up in the business of collecting handcuffs, my mentor, he had said, listen, that's a Kimball. He says, I frankly don't think it exists because I would have seen one. Because Houdini had alluded to a handcuff called Kimball, an 1860 patent. Supposedly put on the market, never sold. Anyway,
right, let me look
whatever.
That up.
You're whatever. A patent man.
I'm going
to
look at
whatever. That. Oh, I used to have every patent.
What'd you say it was?
The Kimball.
The Kimball.
It's 1860. Kimball. The first patent.
First, patented.
No. Houdini didn't patent it. First patented American handcuff.
Okay,
go ahead.
So anyway, it was just a rumor. Well, a guy up in Canada sent me pictures of some handcuffs for sale. I said, I'll take those four. And I sent him like $1,000 for them. As soon as it got here, yes. And I go to my annual lock show, and I'd put a collection together called Relics of the World. And I was getting everybody else stoked up, because Mary used to give me all that crap about, you know, Kimball handcuff or whatever. I said I'd give them one day. Yeah, right. I lifted up the drape, and they all go. And one of the most respected lock collectors
Wait, this
ever
is radio. They all went silent.
Yeah, they all went dead silent, and their mouths agape. And one of these really well-respected cuff collectors, he made my day. He goes, Michael, may I have your permission to touch that? I said, yes. And so, yeah, I've owned the four rarest handcuffs known. And I set the prices for 10 years, mostly on eBay.
Did you sell them?
Oh, yeah, I've been selling handcuffs forever. It used to have a company called the International Handcuff Exchange.
I know, but not forever, so you can't say forever.
Correct.
30 years? Well, you can't. You know, then everybody will turn off and they go, oh, he's saying things that aren't true. That
he's so full of himself.
But I'm looking here online, and I put in Kimball handcuff, and I'm seeing the oldest handcuffs ever, just like he said, and collectors, and talking about that, so...
Now, you have a $100,000 reward to anyone who can keep you prisoner.
Correct. It's a worldwide $100,000 challenge. In fact, over in Singapore, that challenge even made
over
Money
in
Magazine.
Singapore. This guy's worldwide.
International. International flavor tonight.
They took up my challenge, and they built a box that far exceeded anything I could have dreamt of.
I'd be afraid of the Japanese?
No. These are Singaporeans.
What were they?
Singaporeans.
Oh.
And they go, oh, we fixed you up at number 26. And so.
Well, see, you're going to get calls from Singapore now. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot of business. So they put me in this box. They even shellacked the box. I knew there was no way I was going to grab it. The mall, because they do these big promotions in these giant shopping centers over there, there's 4,500 people there. Place is packed. I accept the challenge. I tell the folks, I'll try. I cannot guarantee it. I think it was like 17 minutes.
Why'd you mention shellac? No, where's
because
they stumped on that.
They varnished the box.
But here's a guy that he can get out of wood, but if it's finished,
what shellac is impossible?
So stained.
I said, if you got some shellac at home, we could get $100,000.
Why did you mention shellac? Nobody thought that
because
it was sticky and
because what I'm trying.
What if the Singaporean shellac the
my box?
They shellac my. A box with a big sitar.
Go ahead.
So anyway, they far
asked for it. Didn't
they
you?
Far.
Yeah,
they,
you said it. Singapore
you guys asked. They far exceeded the challenge parameters. I was scared to death. I get down there the day of the challenge. The place is packed. They put me in the box. 17 minutes. The fumes are killing me because I can't breathe in there. It's hot and humid anyway. You got the damn varnish. I finally got out of it.
The varnish.
Well, the shellac varnish, whatever's on the box.
Shellac. Okay.
I told you it's a lot about finishing the wood.
Hey, there was no tongue oil on the box. So I finally get out of the dang thing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they mob the stage because they've all got to touch it to make sure it's real. Well, all of a sudden, we start hearing these really high-pitched noises, and we didn't know what it was. So my assistant and I, we look back there. It's these tall, like four or five tall, very swarthy-looking guys.
Swarthy?
They can't swart him.
I'm fortless.
Those Singaporeans, they are slippery.
So we go, what are they saying? They go, he's the devil, kill him. Holy crap. They actually wanted to kill me. So
you were the only guy who's been hung?
The security guys.
They were going to shellac him.
The security guys hit them from an oblique angle and bust them right out of the mall. Later on, they said, you got to get out of here because they were dead serious. There's a lot of different religious sects over here. And they actually thought you dematerialized to get out of that box because that's impossible. I said, son of a gun.
That is an interesting anecdote, I must say. I've never heard of the shellac Singaporeans.
Or the tall, swarthy individuals.
You cannot go into a foreign culture and do magic and not pay the
price. I almost got executed.
Voodoo.
In another city.
No. You guys, I talked my way out of being executed. When we got to Singapore,
I can believe that.
right.
Why would you have to? Since it would have been unsuccessful.
I did
rope on your neck.
I did something that I found out later, to much to my chagrin.
Why didn't you let them put you in jail? I didn't escape. And they really
when I got over to Singapore, my promoter said, "Will you do your world famous gun trick?" I said, "I would love to." So
what is that world famous gun trick?
Hold on, I'll get to that.
You haven't mentioned a promoter until now, and now we understand.
There's a promoter
who's pushing you to do these crazy things.
Is he Japanese?
The promoter over in Singapore.
Oh, the Singaporean promoter.
So I did not know it's an
international
automatic.
International seas.
Guys. I did not know it's an automatic executable offense to be caught with firearms on your person. So I said, yes, I'll do it. So
in Singapore?
Oh, yeah. So when I'm in midair, it breaks on the news, international escape artiste to bring firearms into the country. So, all right, great. They're doing the publicity. As soon as we get down there, they lock us down. They march us right into the equivalent of the police chief is like the minister of security or whatever. It was just like out of an old Johnny Quest cartoon. Me and my assistant. And he's really cocky by nature. Me and my assistant, we're sitting in this old decrepit office. It's really hot and humid. There's a three-bladed fan going tick, 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 tick around the top. He's got a turban with a big mustache that's pulled up over his ears. And he goes, and this is just after the kid from Dayton got caned. And he goes, and anytime you're, ladies and gentlemen, listening, anytime you're in a foreign country.
The kid from Dayton got caned.
Ladies and gentlemen, listening, anytime you're in a foreign country and they preface a statement with, you know you're not in your country now, you know you're up a creek. So I go, yes, sir. He goes, so you brought firearms into our country? I go, I did. He goes, you know that's an executable offense. I go, I'm fully aware of that. He looked at me, his eyes widened. He goes, if you knew that was an executable offense and you knew you don't have rights over here, why did you bring firearms in this country? I said, because I'm Michael Griffin, and I came to entertain.
Well, that'll work.
So apparently it did, because he goes, so what are you going to do? So I told him how the trick plays.
Those aren't the droids you're looking for.
And he turns around in his chair. He goes, give me a second. So he turns around in his chair. Now it's dead quiet, no pun intended. And me and my assistant, we're just like dead quiet. You can hear your hearts beating. You can feel your sphincters tighten up on each other.
But we're not dead yet because it's called dead air. Right?
Yeah, there's no sphincter tightening here, folks. But the weatherman has a very noisy one. And
all of a sudden,
he spins back around in his chair and he looks at us, his fingers clasped, and he goes, I will give you permission to perform this trick once. I said, thank you very much. He goes, did you bring handcuffs into our country? I go, no! So we get out of there. My assistant's all freaking out. I'm freaking out. Next day, front page again because I'm loaded down with handcuffs and leg irons after being thrown to the bottom of the Singapore River. It was a hoot over there.
thrown to the bottom of the Singapore River in handcuffs and something else.
You wouldn't be here today if you
they'd there's like huge that. Catfish down there. And they're, the Singapore they, I've seen it on that River Monster show. That's where they are.
Every man, you haven't spoken much tonight. What do you think of this story?
Just been listening.
We all have. That took about 32
minutes. Spellbinding.
Oh, all the attention that was paid to the fan, I thought was very
clasping
good.
Your fingers.
That fan.
Everything,
was
I was waiting.
It was like a Johnny Quest cartoon. It was like old, very, very,
yeah,
very.
Yeah, but we want things to be more like a Sherlock Holmes novel.
Yeah, but you said trick in there. So are these just tricks?
I walked him through the trick, the routine. I used trick.
Now it's a routine.
You've
got to have a vocabulary.
I use trick.
It'll be reality.
You want to go into politics?
I use trick as a common vernacular for our listeners at home.
That's right.
It's easier to. They call me a magician. I'm really not a magician. I'm an escaped artist, but I fall under one of the seven rings of magic. And I do love close-up magic. I started out doing close-up and slights.
The seven rings of magic.
The seven rings of magic. Grasshopper.
Name them.
Oh, come on.
They were named
why
years ago.
Put people on the spot here. Well, why are you
being mean? Well, it's because he's an English teacher.
Yes, he's a jewel, and we are looking
we're
at the various
him.
Facets that he had.
I just was fascinated by the seven.
Fascinated.
I was fascinated by the seven.
That was the best pun joke ever, wasn't it? He was fascinated after I mentioned facets.
Do you know the seven rings of magic?
No.
There you go. Go ahead.
I know, but nobody's going to
I thought they were in your
down.
Cereal
we
bowl.
We don't want them.
Can you make a cereal? Song? Do you sing during your show?
I do not. However,
you get real close.
However, there is a very slim chance that Bruce Springsteen made a song after speaking with me. Back
is this a secret?
No. Several years ago, I'm in a Starbucks waiting on my mocha. I desperately needed this mocha.
I feel a story.
So all of a sudden, I hear Springsteen on the stereo. I go, oh.
Sit back for 10 minutes.
Wait a minute. All of a sudden, I hear Springsteen on the stairs.
So I go, oh, this is new Springsteen. So I go, what is this? And she goes, oh, it's Bruce's new. So I listen. I go, oh, cool. I'll buy this. So I bought the CD. I put it in my vehicle on the way home.
They were selling them in the coffee shop?
In Starbucks, yeah.
Okay.
So it's it was his new album at the time called Magic. So I go, okay, cool name. So anyway, this totally freaked me out. I'm driving back home, sipping down the last of my mocha. He goes in a song called Magic, and I go, what? So I replayed it. What? I replayed it one more time. I go, what? I go, okay, this is way cool. No way in hell I could ever prove this. I wouldn't even want to. But that night, I split a pizza with Bruce Springsteen. I kept wanting to talk about Elvis and him. He kept wanting to talk about my escapes. He goes, you could really be put in a box and thrown in a river. He goes, you got handcuffs on your wrist, you can get out. You do magic. He kept going back to my magic. That's the night I got the nickname Boss of Bondage by Vanna White's husband, George Santapietro, in Hollywood.
Boom! With a French word in there, too!
So that night.
What?
So that night, me
I'd
and
like
Bruce.
To buy a vowel.
What is this?
I'm about to have a vowel movement. So that night, I take a picture with Bruce. Me and Bruce were trying to out-tough each other. Santapietro goes, Bruce, you'll always be the boss. He goes, Mike, you're the boss of bondage. That's where I got that nickname. But anyway, Bruce said, There's metaphors in what you do. So, okay, whatever. So this is 30 years later. I'm listening to the song. He goes, Jamie in a box, throw me in the river, got shackles on my wrist. I'm going, no way, this is so cool.
You're Jamie?
Huh?
You're Jamie from Jamie in the River? Throw
in no,
the,
no, chain me in a box,
still
throw
attention.
Me in a river.
What was the name of that character? I'm trying to replace Mike.
I'm trying to, you were buying a coffee and somehow you ended, how did you end up with Bruce Springsteen?
Because they sell CDs
magic.
At Starbucks. And the name of the CD was
Primary
Magic.
Primary Reality.
And he's got the song that encompasses a lot of what he and I were talking about and just go, this is just so cool. It's just the coolest little memory because that was the night he and I split a pizza talking about Elvis Presley.
Talking about Elvis Presley.
Yep.
You know, it rained in Southern California the night that Elvis Presley died.
Did it? Uh-huh. It was almost like the mountains were crying.
It was, because it doesn't rain a lot in Southern California.
It was 2:35 p.m. Tuesday.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, he fell off the commode.
Not really.
He fell off the commode.
No, he didn't fall. He was trying to get
He was
back.
Sitting there and died.
No,
dead people don't sit. So then after he's dead, he fell off.
No, what he was trying to do,
plus
he
the got, ice cream
no,
made the seat slippery.
No, this happened.
Did you know that he was eating ice cream?
Doctor.
He
I
was
know,
guys,
his doctor.
This
he was
happened,
dead? Did
doctor,
they mention the ice cream?
Dr. Nicopoulos.
This happened in 73 on his airplane, too. He dove down to the floor to try to get better breath. That's what happened the day he died. He was up on the toilet.
What kind of
But he tried to get down to get the air. That's why they found him
every
in the
man,
position.
Terry, what do you think about well, better air at the bottom?
The better air at the bottom of a toilet?
No, no, I don't expect that.
On the carpet, he was getting down to get his breath.
Oh.
Not on the toilet. Getting down.
No, no, I mean,
but the air from the toilet.
No, not for the toilet.
I hate to have somebody try to transcribe you.
Horrible.
What?
Oh, God.
What was the point?
There's
no point at all.
The point is, it didn't rain that day in Southern California.
It did.
Because it never rains in Southern California.
It did rain that day, I
Dr.
remember.
Dr. Nikopoulos said that he had an intestinal problem.
Yes, he was quite impacted. He had 40 pounds of this stuff in there.
Uh-huh. I had a girlfriend at that time. She left me later on. But I remember being happy at that point in my life.
Yeah, Elvis was dead?
No, just at that. I'm just thinking to myself back then that night. I remember going off to work, hearing that Elvis had died, and I was probably going to a comedy store over to the Ice House.
I think he wrote a few jokes about that.
Did
probably.
He?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't touch a touchy subject.
So at what level of the commode do you have to have good air? When does that happen?
It had nothing to do with the toilet. He was just trying to get down onto the ground. He was trying to get on the ground to breathe.
When someone's not doing a number two, you get
you go down to number two.
And what are your plans for the future in the area of amazing people?
Well, I can't wait to get a TV special going. You know, we've had these television properties before, but
you know, Gallagher's done 14 television.
I know, you're the guy. But we always get these ideas.
Showtime on the map.
Are you going to explode at the end? That's what I always did. I knew I was going to smash food at the end.
Can he hit you with a mallet?
Certainly, you can do something spectacular. Don't you think I'm being copied a lot?
I think Gallagher should put him inside a watermelon and see if he can escape from a watermelon.
I'll see splashes on commercials.
But Gallagher, that's all nothing but gold for you, because the lion should never lose sleep over the sheep.
That's right.
My name's Leo.
Leo the lion.
Right. I'm a Leo, July 24th.
Your birthday is July 24th?
Just like Jennifer Lopez.
My ex-wife is July 24th.
Your ex-wife?
See?
Yeah.
Somebody
is
he writing a movie?
65.
Is he writing a movie for Jennifer Lopez?
Rihanna.
I'm writing a wonderful movie. Hey, can I tell you about a scene from the movie that made me write the whole movie?
Go right ahead.
I thought, what if a chick from Puerto Rico didn't want to live in the United States like every other Latina and just came here to do something in fashion that would be good for Jennifer Lopez? But her mother's upset because her mother had an indiscretion one night in the moonlight with a soldier on his way back to the States. And so she's afraid that Jennifer's going to go by the bar where he works and sit there and tell him or let him know somehow that he's her half-brother.
What about A-Rod? A-Rod better have something to do with this. You know.
He could play the guy behind the bar.
He could be behind the bartender.
When I first got the idea, she was married to the singer, and so I didn't think he'd make a good...
Mark Anthony.
Right,
Mark Anthony.
A good brother. But isn't that an exciting scene where you're afraid she's going to spill the beans and... that's funny.
That is the
But, you know, it's really titillating, isn't it? It's an exciting thing because you can just go in a bar. And you know what? If a person is working behind a bar, for some reason they have to put up with the customer telling extra personal information.
And we don't like that.
It seems like you're a psychiatrist. For some reason, those that can't afford it just go get a drink and tell it to the bartender.
Gloria
right?
Estefan could be her mom, right?
Just to say it out loud.
Yeah, you get her in there. We are chatting with 2-time World Magic Award winner, Michael Griffin.
Gloria Estefan as her mom?
Uh-huh.
Maybe her older sister.
Okay. Or
Lopez
aunt,
is kind
or
of old.
Aunt, yeah, her aunt. Her,
I mean, she's what, 40, 45?
Something like that.
So you got Stefan's on.
You know who 50s. She loves, the actress
Sophia
singer?
Loren.
No, the one that was in West Side Story.
Moreno?
Yeah.
Moreno.
Oh, she'd love to do a movie with her to play her mother that's all nervous that she's going to go to New York. You know why she's going to New York? She's bringing the Miss Puerto Rico contest up there so the girls meet some people in fashion and the contest leads to something, because when you have it down in Puerto Rico, nothing was happening. So she's bringing all the whole contest.
They can get Steve Harvey to announce the winner.
The reason that she is... She's helping the girls. She always loved the beauty contest scene, but she has a funny nose. And I think it'd just be great for Jennifer to do a movie with like a bump on her nose that makes her a little bit ugly, and that's why you can't be in a beauty contest. Wouldn't that be just great?
Oh, that would be good.
I love it.
We're going to get that out to a
producer. That's that movie. I'm writing three movies at the same time.
And you're as soon as you leave here, you're headed out to Hollywood.
That's right.
Yep, the Hollywood Hills.
You got one for Rihanna, too, right? You got a movie
Michael, do you have another trick? Do we do all the tricks in hour number one?
I'm going to pick some up in Hollywood. Hey!
There you go. Whoa! Got anything left?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, let's do it, because I don't want to miss it.
You want to see something weird?
We got 16. Yeah.
All right, you guys.
You're not going to bend anything again. Here we go.
Are you saying if there were girls here, they wouldn't like it?
Betting down the hatches.
All right, he has what appears to be a box cutter.
He has a box cutter.
Yeah. No, this airline's going down.
He has what appears to be a box cutter.
Not around on a plane, right?
What I have brought is a weird restraint called a thumb cuff. It is a 1930 patent from McGill.
And lucky for
Kansas
us, Terry is in the studio.
Lucky for us, Terry's in the studio. He is going to verify that I'm locking up Gallagher again.
Oh, here we go. And move the watermelon.
The watermelon will be moved.
Putting on, are those Harry's
rocking handcuffs?
No. Are those Houdini's handcuffs again?
No, but I'm going to show you why these are.
What about the thumb cuff?
These are actually, they were put on the market. They did not do well because.
Well, I don't know why. I just love them myself.
They go with everything, right?
These were originally called the vest pocket manacle. Now, what's interesting is inside the thumb cuff, there are teeth. I didn't put them on tight, but there are teeth inside the rings there.
Want a verification on that?
I wouldn't need it.
Two little animals are biting my thumbs.
But here's where it gets cool. If he were to be an especially irate criminal, I could simply twist these and it would take him down to his knees because of the leverage. So that's one of the reasons these aren't used anymore. The other reason that these are great.
Why would anyone walk down the street this vulnerable anyway? I mean,
when you're in custody.
And then when you're in custody.
Right. Then the way it's designed.
Oh,
the key,
I see.
The key
I'm
goes
afraid
back here.
Somebody's going to grab it.
He can't use the key.
Can't use the key.
So I am going to let him out. I know there's people at home saying, no.
Well, thank God. I had so many things I wanted to do with two hands.
He's all thumbs, right?
Now,
Michael, I was no thumbs at that point.
Now move that watermelon. Move
tight, tight,
jeez.
Tight.
We have to move the watermelon.
Okay, squeeze it down tight.
Very few people have to say that.
I don't.
It does feel tight. What do you mean?
Tighter.
Bend them forward.
Yeah. Yeah, because the teeth.
I got
make that one tighter. Make that one tighter.
I can't make
it tighter.
I can't
make
it
tighter.
You can
do it.
Terry, bend those things.
I can't
make
them tighter. Make them tighter. Tighten that thing.
See, if he gets a click out of him, he won't get a click.
Oh, it was a click.
Yeah, he did.
That was my neck
cracking. That was about as loud as a fart from the weatherman that we heard.
I cracked my neck. It was
go to Leo Gallagher on my Facebook to see the weatherman.
Now, Michael is in the thumb cuffs.
Yeah, these are thumb cuffs.
Patented in 1930.
Yeah, it's a 1930 design.
Gallagher threw the key away.
The key is right there.
The key is right there,
okay. As you can see on the radio.
Yep.
And we just saw when the thumb cuffs were on Gallagher,
even
if you had the key, you can't use the key to your advantage. You can't get out of the handcuffs. So I'm going to keep the key over there, but watch this.
Gotcha.
Okay. I'm going to do it for you on the radio.
He's got the thumb cuffs on.
Watch.
I'm going to watch it. Is this
on
the screen?
He's got the swirling his hands around here.
Yeah, I know. It gets weird.
And the thumb cuffs are off.
Wow.
And they're in his hands.
Still been
circular. Can you post this then? On your website?
I'll post this.
Okay, great. This is going to be posted.
This is going to be like...
And that is the key, and the key does nothing.
And he made the key disappear.
There you go.
Well, I'll tell you, that's
awesome.
That's worth money itself.
Yeah.
So if you're building a house or doing some repairs around the house, you want to go out to Henry Lumber, right? Henry Lumber, who gave me a key to the new place he's opening up downtown. But he doesn't want me to bring nobody in there because there's electrical hanging and it could be dangerous. But I put my five boxes of T-shirts there that I'm going to try to sell in the 3 days of the Popcorn Festival. What? It's my challenge. It's my burden. It's my cross I must bear.
I understand, but should you tell people that they're there?
Yeah, I got the key. I have the key. Nobody.
Do you know who you're sitting next to?
This
the top person in the world of selling T-shirts? I'm just guessing.
I don't need the keys to get in there.
You can leverage the door.
You're right. But why would you want 500 Gallagher shirts? But we should tell everybody that this is the largest collection of autographs, because I've autographed all of them.
Boy, everybody's got the largest or the biggest tonight or the
I'm
only.
I'm sorry, but it is. It's okay, the largest. I'm not 500 it's Gallagher
it's
shirts.
Appetite.
Five which sizes.
The biggest appetite.
Tank top.
Sizes going from small to double XL.
That's right.
Pink.
Might need a pink few, ones might for need the girls, to, but a pink girl cut. It's cut Picasso. Different. Right, and some they're going to
the
sell
pink
fast.
And double
those
X
will be gone.
You get the pink
those
and double X.
I'm over there by the Snackers.
By the
That's,
Snackers,
it's
folks.
Next door to the Snackers, and he's building the space. It's going to be a showcase for kitchens and bathrooms.
And Friday, what time will you be where you'll be, Michael?
I believe 6 or 6:30. I said whatever time you
in
like.
The 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah, we're gonna. You know what I'm gonna be doing Friday?
No,
I did not do this a couple weeks ago in Marion, Ohio.
Did you ask that question? I thought you asked the question. What's he gonna do on Friday?
Well, glad you brought it up. Well, I'll tell you what I'm gonna be doing on Friday. I'm 6:30. Gonna be issuing.
Yeah, six p.m.
I'm maybe both. I'm going to issue my $1,000 challenge. So anybody in Marion, Ohio, who can come down, tie me up with rope, and I can't get out, I will not only pay you $1,000, I will also throw in two Gallagher autographed T-shirts.
This is $100,000.
That's for the big challenge, $1,000 for the rope.
Tire chains are being taken off the barn. all across the state right now.
At the Hobby Lobby, buy him the shellac.
Boy,
the shellac will be
you know how many trips to the concession stand people can make at the Popcorn Festival with $1,000?
You are making a mistake, because I'd be
a lot of
Singaporeans
over
there.
It's a lot of Tackett's barbecue you could buy for that $1,000.
So they can tie you up with anything, huh?
They could tie me up with rope.
Rope.
In the old days, I used to accept dental floss, baling wire, barbed wire, sutures, and monofilament fishing line.
Now, wait a minute. A suture would go through your skin. Is that what you're saying?
No. A suture can go through your skin, but does not have to. Now, when I got tied up with monofilament, I actually got tied up from a Vietnam vet. He said, listen, I'm going to use what we used to call a gook tie. I go, what's a gook tie? He goes, this is how we used to restrain the gooks. I go, how does it work?
This is like R.J. Bunker. You just...
I'd make him the Vietnam vet, as long as you're telling the story.
So
this ought to be the guy.
So what he did
the
was
top vet. Vet, whoever he used
the best vet.
Guys,
only one ever.
He put a broomstick across my back through my elbows. It brings your wrists in front. He ties your wrists in front with rope. No big deal. Now, where it got difficult is now he used fishing line, and he ran it from the broomstick up around the bridge of my nose, bending my head back.
I wish we had a demo on this.
And I go, why do you do this? I go, why do you do this? He goes, because as soon as you go to bend your head forward, it's going to cut into your eyeballs. I said, oh, great. Thank you.
That would be torture.
Yeah, that was a very, very,
we
very
got a video going, though, and we're going to post it. So I would have liked to have seen that.
They become an insomniac really quick.
Anything but white.
Become an insomniac really quick.
No. I'm not prejudiced. Any color rope.
Come on. This is a very political show to be about an escape.
Yeah, it's not just about white rope.
No, I'm trying.
All rope matters.
So what is the $100,000 challenge?
You're just on the verge.
On the verge of something.
I'm on the verge. I'm on the verge.
You're about to take flight.
I'm no longer a virgin. I'm on the verge.
Just break the mic stand. Jeez Louise. Okay.
That was an example of rhyming one word right after another. Jeez Louise.
Right. What is the $100,000
challenge?
Right?
$100,000
challenge
is that's the worldwide big challenge. That's where people will bring out coffins. But I got out of a coffin. It was really weird. It wasn't a regular coffin.
So nobody can bring a coffin out, Freddie?
This one funeral home, they had me come up and check out their wares. And it was just like a Scooby-Doo cartoon because it was all dark and stormy. I'm going up there. And this transformer gets hit by a bolt of lightning right when I'm turning in. It goes, boom! Louder than loud. I go into this old funeral home. It's 100 years old, easy. And the guy looks like Lurch. He takes me downstairs and goes, try one of these coffins. So I said, well, sir, do you have any other better coffins? He goes, yeah, I've got a metal one, but it doesn't lock on the outside. Well, it's a hermetic seal. I go, why would it have to be hermetically sealed? He goes, so no air gets in to prevent the decay. So I go, would that be the one that freaks you out? He goes, we don't think you can get out of there because it's all metal. So I go, that's the one I want to try. So we tried a wooden coffin just for size. He puts me in the wooden coffin in his basement of his funeral home, closes it up. His phone rings. He goes, I'll be back. So he goes upstairs. I go, okay, wait a minute. I don't even know this guy. I'm in the basement of a funeral home locked in a wooden coffin. Oh, yeah, but that's what I do. So the
guy's taking a phone call?
Yeah, he went upstairs to get the phone, then he came back down. So the week of the challenge, it was the biggest crowd the fair's ever had. And
ever.
I caught the fair manager saying, this is even bigger than the country acts. They even brought an ambulance in.
I have a feeling that.
They even brought an ambulance in.
It's bigger than the country acts. Now, yeah. Understand this.
The place was packed. They put me in this metal coffin. And you have to understand, this coffin, it's like a submarine hatch.
People like to see possible death.
Yeah, it's not the coffin.
They come to your show.
So much for a hit song.
Guys,
see somebody else.
Remember, it's not the cough that carries you off. It's the coffin they carry you off in. So I'm in this coffin, and it's really bizarre because they use this device. They use this device on the outside that cinches it to
crank.
Yeah, crank.
Crank.
And I'm watching that last little sliver of light go away. It goes like this along the rubber gasket. It goes. It goes away. It's pitch black. I'm in a dead quiet coffin. No pun intended.
Metal.
Yeah.
Not a speck of light.
No light, other than the floaters in my eyes due to the extreme fear.
But
I was able to handle it.
You go and say you can get out of these places.
Yeah,
what
I go, I could have been a doctor.
What were you
a psychiatrist, even.
So what's the end of the story? You got out?
Yeah, I eventually got out.
Yeah, that story was
And
intense.
I totally freaked out, but the guy goes, that was a real coffin.
He freaked out.
He freaked. How'd you get out?
He freaked out.
He freaked out. And Lurch took the coffin.
Much to the chagrin of the Undertaker.
Now, is there anything you can say in under 5 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead with it.
That was it.
You don't have any more
stories? Yeah. If you go over the 5 minutes, we're going to have to thwart
we're
you.
We're going to have to thwart
okay.
you.
Okay. This one time at band camp.
Lord.
No.
Here we go.
This one time, they wanted me to resurrect Houdini's original overboard box escape.
Who?
A guy who
like wrote, who of the world? They want.
He was the mayor of Louisville. He was this private collector down in Delray Beach, Florida.
Was he Singaporean?
No. And he owned a contemporary museum of oddities. He owned Jack Ruby, the pistol that was used, the 38 that was used on Jack Ruby, or Jack Ruby's 38 they used on Oswald.
Because when you're not collecting handcuffs.
Yeah.
You're collecting guns.
Murder memorabilia.
No. And so anyway, the guy had his box. He searched the world. He said, I need you down here. From all accounts, you're the best escape artist in the world. He goes, I own Houdini's box. Because he searches everything. We just did a whole bunch of TV.
Then the story.
Oh, God.
We just did a whole bunch of
TV. We have 3 minutes. We have 3 minutes.
We just did a whole bunch of TV stuff.
Four.
And they say, all paths for escape artists leads back to you, Mr. Griffin. I said, cool.
All paths. Of escape artist leads
so anyway,
from Mike Griffith.
Griffin.
Griffin.
Like Mary Griffin.
Oh, but not Griff out. Griffin.
Yes. Coat of arms. Griffin.
I'm the guy who was granted, after 90 years, permission to actually use Houdini's box. It had been in dry dock.
Is that enough?
It had been in dry dock for 90 years. So they put me in Houdini's box, threw me down to the bottom of the bay there, and we were able to get out in under like a minute and a half.
In under the water.
Yeah.
In the bay.
Yeah.
In Houdini's box.
Actual box.
Wow.
Yeah. And remember, kids, wow is just MLM.
There's seals there and otters.
There was manatees.
And manatees.
Autographed manatees.
Those darn manatees. If they hadn't been there.
He was down there with all of them.
But you got out.
I did.
Yeah.
But it was really weird because I got out. I said, I'm going back in. So I got back in the box.
See, I knew there'd be a postscript.
And they brought it back up. And when they interviewed me, they said, why'd you get back in? I said, because it was the weirdest thing. When I was on the way out, it was pitch black under there. And your whole life flashes. And it goes really slow. Especially when you feel the water starting to come in.
I understand that.
So anyway, it was really weird because I kept hearing this thing said, you can get. So I got out and I said, go back. And I don't know what voice it was, but I went back in.
Mm-hmm.
And it
Lord,
was a trip.
The Lord?
I went back
mm-hmm.
into the box.
Mm-hmm.
Was
none of the guys with cameras were ready for that.
No, they didn't have a... No.
Now, are we to presuppose that there is an underlying intelligence and that this nutty character is the diversion to get us off the track, but there's behind the scenes, there's this Sly Fox. That's
you're all
a machinist, I guess. Kind of a machinist.
That it's really about. Yeah.
So this whole thing we've been experiencing is an act.
An act. So this is really isn't. What was the thing called?
But you get to tell wonderful stories because the other guy's really smart, right?
Now, how much of your show is story? Do you get up and tell these stories?
My show is more like...
No, it has to be fast acting. He's about to risk his life.
My show...
Are there pretty girls?
There's always pretty girls.
Do women...
always pretty girls.
Wherever there's, somebody about to die, there's always a pretty girl.
Cher c'est la femme!
That was French for find the lady. But my show, it's not like... when I first saw Siegfried and Roy, I liked the illusions, but I was rather nonplussed because after the show, it was a very linear progression. It was a stage play. One of them could get hurt, and theoretically, you can put in an understudy. That's not my show. Each thing I do is its own vignette, has its own words, its own music, its own plot. And I can change them all up because I play off the audience. It's like a concert. And, like, I'll throw my assistant off because I'll say, okay, let's open up with this, blah, blah, blah. I'll go out there, ladies and gentlemen, okay, that. And he goes, and they got to change because I go off the feel.
What does Siegfried have in common with the tiger? They both know what Roy tastes like. But it's the end of the show. Isn't it the last minute?
The last, what a horrible last.
But that's where you put that joke.
That's where that joke goes.
Yeah.
30 seconds left. Well,
30 seconds. I didn't do it.
Well, listen, Michael, certainly appreciate you for coming. Those were tremendous anecdotes, and you'll be at the
pop. And you spit them out, boy.
Yeah, that's why the windscreen's here.
Spit them out.
Rinse it.
Now, he'll be at the Popcorn Festival at 6 p.m., we think, on Friday.
6 or 6:30.
At one of the stages.
Yeah.
You can bring your rope and tie him up. And Gallagher will be over in the...
$20 for a T-shirt over by the stage, by the Snackers, by Henry Lumber. That's where I get my stuff.
That's where it will be. And that is all the time we have for this evening. We thank Michael Griffith.
Griffin.
There's a pension to call you Griffith.
That's okay. There won't be another escape.
That's how I got into ABC Studios the very first time when I was 18.
We don't have time.
Because it was like,
we don't have time.
Out of time.
I wish we had some more time.
Oh, if we had time for another one. But that's all for the night. Say goodnight. End it.
This has been more than a thrill for me. This has been an inconvenience.
Cancer. I never bothered you.